when me and David was talking about me doing this today, I said, well, what have you been teaching on Sunday nights, or what have you been preaching? And he said, well, I've been going through the parables, you know, and we, of course, used the parables over in Africa a lot, and he began to tell me the parables that he had gone through. And I said, I don't want to be talking about the same one you've already talked about. They might get bored with that. And the parable that we're going to look at tonight is found in Luke chapter 16. And if you want to turn there. And it's a parable that has always troubled me as a young man, as I read God's Word. I didn't read it the way I should have read it. But, you know, it's a parable that Jesus uses to draw something out of that every one of us ought to be trying to do. And but as we think about that, do we really understand all that God has got for us as believers? You know, as we look at Scripture and as we study Scripture, some of the times we lose sight of what we're really all about and what we're going to inherit. And it's really important that we keep our eye upon that inheritance. And I found this story. It goes like this. This story is told of a man who obtained an inheritance of a beautiful country estate. As he lived in the city, he thought it would be best to dispose of this estate and use the money he would obtain from it in some other way. Getting in touch with a widely known real estate firm, he instructed them to go out and make careful examination of the house, the outbuildings, and the land belonging to the estate, and write it up in such a way as to make it seem attractive to anyone who was looking for a home in the country. When all of his instruction had been carried out, a representative of the firm brought in the draft of the advertisement, which they intended to insert in various papers. In this ad, the old home was described in glowing terms. The beautiful porches, the large hallways, the circular staircase, the drawing rooms, the living rooms, the sleeping apartments, and all the different appointments which made for a perfect country home. The billowing lawns, the trees, the shrubbery, the gardens, all the farming ground were also pictured in language calculated to arouse the interest of anyone who desired a country estate. As the agent read the description, the owner of the estate listened carefully and making no comment. At the close, the agent inquired, "What do you think of that? That ought to sell it, don't you think so?" The owner replied, "Well, to be frank, I have changed my mind. I have decided not to sell. I have wanted a place like that all my life, and I had no idea that this estate was just exactly what I had been longing for. Your description has shown me what a fool I would be to part with it. So I will pay you for the work you have done, but you need not to make any effort to sell it. I will live there myself." Doubtless, the agent was disappointed as he saw the large fee disappearing, but the owner had learned the value of his possession and soon moved in and enjoyed what he had been so ready for before to pass it on to someone else. You know, we focus on this life so much in the here and now. And we look at the things that we have. In America, guys, I'm telling you, we are so blessed to live where we live and enjoy the things that we enjoy. And it's not wrong to have things. And I don't want you to take this the wrong way. And I don't want you to go off and tell everybody else that isn't here tonight how I told you that it was wrong to have possessions. But I do want us to look at what it takes to sacrifice for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And do we really need the things that we say that we need? And the parable that I was speaking of, as me and David asked me the other day, he said, "Well, what did you decide to preach on?" He just asking out of curiosity. And I said, "Well, the parable of the dishonest manager or their steward." You know, he calls us a steward. The Bible calls us a steward. And the reason this is troubling me so much, because in my early life, God used something, a dishonest person, to set an example for us. But if you read into it what it really says, then he's wanting you to use what you've got, but look forward to what you can gain with it. It's what we have, what we gain, what we have here is really filthy things. But we can use those things in a good way. And we can use the knowledge that we have and the things that we have to promote God's kingdom in other places, in other ways, and be involved in other people's lives. Every one of us have different interests. Every one of us. You know, I was talking to a guy the other day, and he got off on the NBA and stuff like that. And I have absolutely no knowledge of the NBA. I have a little knowledge about some college basketball, and that's because I hang around with David Brown and some of those guys. I know a little bit because of them. But me and Carol used to watch the NBA, but we don't watch it at all anymore. But does that really make any difference in your lives? So let's read this afternoon, this parable. It says, "Now he said to his disciples, there was a rich man who received an accusation that his manager was squandering his possessions. So he called the manager and asked, 'What is this I hear about you? Give an account of your management, because you can no longer be my manager.'" Did you notice that he just got fired? He didn't escort him out, the problem. "Then the manager said to himself, 'What will I do, since my master is taking my management away from me? I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I'll do. I know what I'll do so that when I'm removed from management, people will welcome me into their homes.' So he summoned each one of his master's debtors. 'How much do you owe the master?' he asked the first one. 100 measures of oil,' he said. 'Take your invoice,' he told him, 'and sit down quickly and write 50. Next, he asked another, 'How much do you owe?' 100 measures of wheat,' he said. 'Take your invoice,' he told him, 'and write 80. The master praised the unrighteous manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the children of this age are more shrewd than the children of the light in dealing with their own people. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of worldly wealth, so that when it fails, they may welcome you into eternal dwellings. Whosoever is faithful in very little is also faithful in much. And whoever is unrighteous in a very little is also unrighteous in much. So if I have not been faithful with worldly wealth, who will you trust with what is genuine? And if you have not been faithful with what belongs to someone else, who will give you what is your own? No servant can serve two masters, since he either will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." Let's pray this afternoon. Father, we just thank you for this opportunity. And Father, I thank you for just each one of these people here. And Father, I do thank you for what, as a church, what Hillcrest does. But Father, as we are coming to an end of a year and the beginning of a new, Father, it is time, as Brother David had said this morning, that we should examine what we are doing. And Father, I just pray, Lord God, that you would just guide and direct my words. I pray that you would just help me to preach today. Father, I just pray that you would just, everything that is said and done will bring glory and honor to you. But Father, I pray that this will build us up. And Father, also that it will help us to see and focus more clearly on what our mission truly is. And Father, I just ask that you would just help us in every way as we live out our lives for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know, this man in this parable, this guy was far away from where this manager was. He wasn't right there just overseeing this guy. He was away, and it was a big operation. And as you look at him, he calls him and he says, "What's this that I hear?" And he says, "You can no longer be my manager, but you've got to bring the accounts, and we got to see where you're at in all this." And see, in our world today, that kind of thing just don't happen. I don't know if that happened a lot back then or what, but when you get fired from a place, they usually escort you out that day. But he still had control over the accounts. And he began to wonder what he would do. And guys, as I look at this parable, you know, each and every one of us, if we've gave our heart and life to Christ at some point in our lives, then we're that steward. And we can get otherwise focused in our lives sometimes. And even if we're doing ministry, I have to point all of this about me too, because I'd never been in full-time ministry until I came to Hillcrest Baptist Church. And, you know, who's going to hold me accountable? Now, you guys are supposed to. But in actuality, me and David, we have to hold each other accountable. Not only that, we have to do the things that we know that would be a good ministry for this church. So as I look at this guy and think, okay, so if I'm a steward and you're a steward, if we're born again and we're living here and everything that on this earth belongs to God, everything that you have belongs to God, how are we using it? See, this guy was taking advantage of his master. He was taking advantage of the fact that he had all kinds of money and he wasn't missing a bit of it until it was called into question. And as believers, we have to hold each other accountable in life as we go through this life. Even, I mean, I'm not saying that I do anything dishonest. I just want you to know that every one of us is accountable to what we're doing for God. And we have to do that. And time is the biggest thing that we are called to do. We are called to use our opportunities wisely. And time is one of the biggest opportunities that we have. Time is something that we hold very valuable. You know, as I think about that, you know, in the words of my dad when I was a kid growing up, because he run a backhoe and he done all these things, that was, you know, $35 an hour or $25 an hour when he started. And when he went somewhere, he would keep his hours of how long he actually worked at a job site. But how about the drive? How about the fuel? And how about all the expenses that he incurred in doing all that stuff? Well, he had to figure that into his hourly wage. But he couldn't charge those people for the drive there. All he could do was just charge them for the time that he was there. He had to charge for the equipment and how much it would cost to do those things. But mainly it was his time that he spent. So let me ask you tonight. It takes time to invest in other people's lives. But how much time are you investing in other people's lives? As we think about our lives sometimes, life is we would, I don't know about you, but when I get off of work and go home, Andy Griffith, if he's on when I get home, you can ask Carol, that's what I'll watch. And right after that is MASH, and she loves MASH. And we'll sit there and watch MASH and Andy Griffith until it goes off sometimes. And that's usually about 5 o'clock when the news comes on. But how does that help further God's kingdom? Well, I could tell you, Andy Griffith has a lot of good lessons in life. Okay? He reminds you of things that you need to be doing. But what about participating in Upward? We're getting ready to start Upward. Upward takes a lot of time. And as an employee of this church, I get to come every week and do that. But there's so much more that goes into that. And you're investing in people's lives in that, and you're giving your time to do that. That is a great way to invest in people's lives, because those young men and women that come and bring their kids, a lot of them is so unchurched. And they need Jesus. They need the Lord Jesus Christ in their lives. But they just want their kids to play basketball. And there's nothing wrong with basketball. Basketball is a great tool. Baseball is a great tool. I love what Paul does. I'd love to go watch a game played in Cuba, because I love baseball. That's a game I understand. But let me tell you something. It's just like this steward. If we do it for the wrong reasons, if we do it for selfish reasons, then there's no reason to do it at all, because we're investing in the wrong thing. Doing Can We Talk? I know a lot of you guys has went through that. A lot of you guys have done that. But are we doing it on our own? Because that's really what it's trained to do. And Can We Talk is just a program that teaches you to witness out in this world, to talk to people about Christ. But it takes time to do that. When we go to the store, do we take time to talk to somebody about Jesus? You know, I was reading this week, and there's a calendar out, and he says, I try to share, this guy, Ray Comfort, he says, I try to share with somebody every day of the week. Now, he says, you have to force yourself to hand them a tract or have a gospel encounter with them or ask them. And what would that be like to check it off of the calendar every day? What do you check off of the calendar? You know, if you go to a school teacher's room, they have the school calendar marked off. Here pretty soon, my wife will be counting down the days of how many days she's got left. But what if you could look at the end of next year, of 2019, and you'd witnessed you had 365 gospel encounters with people. Some good, some bad, some you don't know where they're at. But is that okay? Did Jesus ever have a bad experience with presenting the gospel of Christ? His gospel, the good news? Sure he did. Every time he encountered the Sadducees and the Pharisees, he had that encounter. But what if we'd done that? And Upward is a great way to do that, because you don't know who these people are and they don't know who you are, and you're just here trying to serve them. Whether you're working in the concession stand or helping with chairs or doing referee or doing whatever. And I'm not trying to talk you into being in Upward. Yeah, I am really, but that's beside the point. The point is this, guys, it takes time. And time is something that us Americans don't like to give up unless it's on our schedule. Operation Christmas Child. I missed a lot of that this year. The last year we didn't go pack shoe boxes this year. We didn't even get to participate in what Brian done with the shoe boxes here. I missed out on every bit of that. But a lot of you guys gave up your time to do that. And guys, that's investing in Christ in a way that you can't. We won't never see it on this side of heaven. We'll never know what we've been able to accomplish through Samaritan's Purse and giving out that gospel and those 9 or 10 people that's affected by each box. We just don't know how that will happen. See, this guy, he calculated after he gets the phone call. He began to calculate. Oh my gosh, I can't dig, and I'm too good to beg. But what if Christ acquired an account of you? Second Corinthians 5, 9, and 10. I'm going to jump ahead just a little bit, Linda. 2 Corinthians 5, 9, and 10, it says this. Therefore, whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please Him. For we must all appear before the tribunal of Christ, or the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be repaid for what he has done in the body, whether good or worthless. Now think about that. You're going to give an account of your life, and for me, it would be from the time I was 10 until till I depart this life, whenever that may be. And I've tried a couple of times, and I've failed, okay? But whatever that case is, that's your span of time. And you're going to give an account of what you've done here up on this earth at the judgment seat of Christ, and He's going to take everything into account, whether it's good or whether it's worthless. You know, I think of the thief on the cross. He had absolutely no works to be judged. The only thing that he had was faith in Christ. But Jesus told him, today you will be with me in paradise. He had that guarantee. And there's going to be thousands upon thousands of people that slip in just like him. I've met a couple of them that they couldn't do anything other than receive salvation, the gift that God provided for them. But see, we have an opportunity. We have an opportunity to do nursing home ministry and pour into those people's lives. You know, we got a group that goes to the nursing homes, and different groups go to different ones. And that's a great thing, because we're encouraging people that need to be focused on those things. focused on refocused, because sometimes they're just so they get so depressed inside those places. Vance Harvner said it like this: God called us to play the game and not keep score. If we were faithful stewards, God will reward us generously, and that reward will bring glory to His name. Guys, the reason I put that in there is because how much of the time do we calculate what we do that's good throughout the week? Well, I gave time to this, and I gave time to this, and I gave time for this. Now, you've only got so much time, and there's responsibilities that you have to do. You've got to take care of your family, and I'm responsible for that. And we've got to fulfill our obligations. We've got to have a job, and we've got to make money, and to manage that money properly. As we go through this life, we're responsible for that. And see, that's where this guy in the parable, that's where he got off track. He got to using the master's goods for everything that he wanted and not considering anything else of what he was doing. And word got out. You know, as I was visiting with some friends last night, and we got to talking about Jim Baker. And I believe Jim Baker is a saved guy. I truly do. But he got off track. You know, I don't know if I could have managed what he managed. But let me tell you something. I haven't had to yet, and I probably won't get to, and I hope I don't get to. But let me tell you something. Every one of us is a steward, and every one of us have more in America than a lot of the nations around the world. So much more. I never thought I would go to Africa. Do you realize, I tell people this all the time, when I went to Africa, I'd never left the country. And I'd only been in about 7 or 8 states. And the only place that I've ever been is Africa. Now, I've been lots of other places trying to get to Africa because of some unfortunate events that it made me go to Brussels and made me go to Paris. But rarely have I experienced anything outside of Africa, outside the airplane or the airport. What I'm trying to say is we never know the journey God's going to take us on and how all that's going to work. But we're the stewards in this parable. And he says to take unrighteous mammon or unrighteous money and make friends. Okay? So that comes to my second point. We are called to use our material possessions faithfully. We are called to use our material possessions faithfully. What is our material possessions? The resources that we have, that resources is something that else that we can use to gain. The things that you have may help someone else, give you the opportunity to share the gospel with them. Think about it. What resources or what knowledge do you have that would be beneficial to somebody else? You know, for me, I love manual labor for whatever reason. I like to split wood. I like to do things like that, and I've used that for ministry several times through the chainsaw thing that we do, the disaster relief, and the different things that we do. There's lots of things that we do. There's lots of people that wouldn't do manual labor. This guy in the story, he says, "I'm too soft to dig." I don't want to dig is really the thing. He probably was probably all right to dig physically, but he probably just didn't want to do the manual labor. And there's a lot of us out there like that. What else? What about your know-how? You know, I think about the electricians that we have in our association, the guys that give in that way, the guys that just help in different ways. Guys, that's all resources. That's all the things that you've got to be faithful in using for Jesus. Now, you can't use them for Jesus every time, but a lot of the time you can, and you've got to look for the opportunities to do that. If you're good on computers, you know, I've got a friend that he works on computers for a living, and I ask him to work on a computer the other day so I could figure out whether I needed a new one or not. But that's his. That's one of the things that he can do. And he brings stuff home sometimes. And don't ask for it back at a good amount of time, because you may be 3 weeks or 4 weeks before you get to it, because he's going to do it on his spare time. But it's one of the ways that he can invest in people's lives. So some things you have to have access to that might give opportunity. You know, what do we, sometimes it's not just, when I worked for the county, we had access to things that people in the county had bought. What am I doing wrong, Dean? That the county had bought that we could use and take them and use them at home. And they allowed us to do that. So we would use them in that way a lot of the time. And is that wrong? Not when your boss says it's okay. Not when people allow you to do those things. But money is a possession that we can use to spread the gospel around the world. I was looking at our Lottie Moon thing and how much over that we went over our goal. Guys, that's wonderful, because every dollar that we give helps somebody else share the gospel around the world. And guys, that's an investment that we'll never see. And this steward that we were reading about, God commended him for being wise in his actions. Not necessarily, it used to irritate me that Jesus would use this parable and say, look at this guy, and he was being dishonest. But he was being shrewd, the Bible says. Jesus wasn't commending him for being dishonest. He was commending him for being shrewd. He was making plans for his future. And people in this world do that every day. They make plans for their future here upon this earth. They put large and large amounts of money back so they can enjoy it. And they might get to enjoy it 2 days, or they might get to enjoy it 4 years. But guys, let me tell you something. The Bible says that you're appointed once to die and then the judgment. And you're going to give an account. I'm not saying it's wrong for us to plan for retirement. I hope to get there one of these days. But let me tell you something. If we're putting oodles and gobs of money back, guys, I want you to know that Jesus wants you to put, He wants you to put your treasures in heaven. As a matter of fact, in Matthew 6, chapter 6, verse 19, verse 24, it says, do not lay up for yourselves treasure on this earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where there neither moth nor rust destroys, or where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So if we're always worried about what our retirement's going to be, and if we're always focusing on that, guys, we're not thinking about winning people to Christ. We're not thinking about how to invest that in Christ, and especially in this new year. See, this guy, he called the creditor, the guys that owed his master money. He said, how much do you owe him? 100 barrels of oil. Now, you think about that. That's a lot. 100 measures of oil. He said, sit down real quick and write 50. So he redone his contract. He said, he'd ask another night, how much do you owe? Well, I owe 100 measures of wheat. Well, you sit down and write 80. Well, guys, I'm telling you that, I guarantee you the world will work just like that. But what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to be that shrewd in how we present the gospel and the opportunities that we present. We're supposed to look for ways to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with people wherever or whatever we're doing. Look what it says. And it says, the master prays the unrighteous manager, because he acted shrewdly. For the children of this age are more shrewd than the children of light, dealing with their own people. And I tell you, make friends for yourself by means of worldly wealth. What's that mean? Make friends for yourself in the worldly wealth. What that means, that I'm supposed to take what God has given me, the resources, the time, and the material things that I have, and I'm supposed to make friends to try to win to Jesus. Because it's all about a relationship. It's all about, I haven't won very many people to Christ just going up to them, and if it was Linda or Harold, and just go up to them and say, "Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?" I haven't won very many that way. But I have won more by getting involved with them in their lives and investing in their lives. But that takes time. And so much of the time, us Americans, we dwell so much on time. And the reason I'm making such a big deal about it, because people in Africa don't make a big deal about time. Okay? If you're 6 or 8 hours late, you're just 6 or 8 hours late, and they don't even know you is 6 or 8 hours late because they ain't counting. As long as you got there that day, they would be all right with it. And probably if you came tomorrow, they would be fine. But we make such a big deal. We schedule it all out. Because that's what we are taught, that time is money. Let me tell you, you have to invest your time in people. It says, but the children of the age are more shrewd than the children of light. Think about that. Jesus is saying that the people of the world are using their means better than what we are. I don't like that very much. And I tell you, make friends for yourself by means of worldly wealth. So when it fails, they may welcome you into eternal dwellings. I'm going to shut this off, Dean, and go to a mic. So, in saying that, what do we do? What do we need to do? And how do we hold each other accountable? And I kind of like the idea of as I look this week at that calendar, I'm gonna bring you back around to that. What if we kept track and say, I presented the gospel? Or what if we wrote down the things that we have invested in? You know, that's one of the things that I don't do. I journal just about every day, most of the time. Not every day, but a lot of the times I'll journal and I'll talk about the things that has happened or the things that's going on in my life. So I can go back and reread later on what's going on or what had happened and how that turned out. That's a great way to do it. But, you know, how much do I really go back and read? Not very often, to tell you the truth. I've got 3 books. I looked the other day to see how many journal books I've got. I've got 3. And I think I started in like 2012. So it's been a few years, about 5 or 6. But I haven't went back and read them to see how that all turned out. You know, I used to pray for my kids when they were teenagers and used to pray about the things that they got involved in. And I know all you guys that's got kids that's adults now, you think, wow, they turned out a lot better than I thought they was going to. That's what I thought anyway. They done all right. Don't tell them I said that because I don't want them to think they're out of the woods yet because I'm still praying for them. But let me tell you something. It's really good that we would do that. But guys, just take one day at a time. Don't get so caught up that you try to plan something, but just look for the opportunities. You know, Perry Wolf was a mentor of mine when I first started preaching. And I was asking Brother Perry one time how to determine whether God was telling me to go to, I think at that time we was going to South Dakota or someplace. It was Colorado. We was going to Colorado and Carol couldn't go and Pete had ball games or something. But anyway, me and Connor, we went. But I was debating whether I should go or not. And Brother Perry told me, he said, well, he said, have you got the time? Do you have the time off from your job? Is it going to affect your job? No, it's a vacation week. You know, I need to take it and go. He said, have you got the money? I said, yeah, that's not a problem. The Lord's provided that. He said, if you got the time and you got the money, what's your wife say since she's having to stay at home? And I said, well, she's fine with running me on out of here so she don't have to deal with me. And he said, well, if you've got the time and you've got the money and your wife's okay with it, then let's go. He said, you're on board. He said, I believe every all the planets has aligned, as he said it. You know,
What's it take for you to share Jesus with somebody? Does all the plan, does all those things have to align? Or can you just take time? Guys, I want us to be shrewd in the management of what God has given us. Because that last little part there, it says, so when it fails, they may welcome you into eternal dwellings. Who's they? The people that we affected by using the worldly mammon or the worldly money or the worldly opportunities to share Jesus with those people. And they're going to welcome you into heaven because you've laid up treasures in heaven. And those people are the treasures. I'm not going to say that's the only treasure, but it's one of them. I truly believe that souls is the greatest treasure there is. And they're going to know who helped them to receive the gospel. Whether it be by money, whether it be by word, whether it be by an act. Maybe you was in a group like I was in Jeff City and worked disaster relief. I believe there's going to be people that will thank me for what I've done because they was able to receive the gospel that day. And see, we can't even imagine. The reason I read you that story, if we could read about all the souls that we could affect in our lifetime, we would have a whole different perspective, just like this gentleman in the story. Once he turned it over to the real estate company and they made it sound so great and so good, and I'm sure it was, that he began to rethink what he was going to do because he was going to sell it and he was going to use the money in other places. But he realized really what he had. And it was something that he desired in his life. And they made it sound that good. And guys, let me tell you something. It's right here. Our inheritance is wrote about right here. We don't know it all. We don't have it all spelled out for us like they did at the real estate company that day. But let me tell you something. It's there. It tells us what we'll receive when we get to heaven. And who will receive? I've heard people say this all my life. Well, if I had more, I'd give more. Not according to what this says. And I think it's true. And it says there in verse 10, it says, whoever is faithful in very little is also faithful in much. And whoever is unrighteous in a very little will also be unfaithful in much. So if you have not been faithful with worldly wealth, who will trust you with what is genuine? And if you have not been faithful with what belongs to someone else, who will give you what is your own? Think about that. Who will give you what is your own? No servant can serve two masters, since he either will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. So just be faithful where you're at. That's what I had to do in my job, in my life. I had to be faithful where I was at. And then I would get a better job. When I became responsible, then the Lord would bless me and let me. And right now, He's blessed me so much to be able to do the very thing that I desire the most, and that's to be in full-time ministry. I don't have to divide my time. But I do have to be careful to not let the world creep in and steal that from me, or be careful that Satan don't. And number three, we are called to serve completely. You remember the widow in Luke 21, 1 through 4? She threw the coin in, and Jesus told his disciples that she gave more than everybody else had gave that day. Now think about that, guys. She only gave a penny. Well, that's the way my Sunday school teacher always described it. It was a very little. And she gave it all. She gave it all. So don't hold nothing back in your life. Look for opportunities. Look for how you can devote your time to share Jesus with people and to help people that aren't able to come to church and do the things that they're doing. our shut-ins and all those people, we can invest in their lives. And we do a good job. I don't want you to think I'm saying that Hillcrest, but I'm just saying we need to be responsible as managers. 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20 says this. It says, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's." See, when you got saved, you gave up all rights to your body. But God left you here as managers to manage what He has given you. Whether you inherited it, whether you're working for it, it don't matter. It's yours to manage. So manage it well for the glory of God, because that's what it's about. I really love this verse. I almost went as far as to give you a description of a sacrifice, but I decided that would probably not be good. But it says in Romans 12:1-2, "I beseech you therefore, my brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove that is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God." That was one of the other things that Perry told me. He says, "Is it good to go share the gospel of Jesus Christ by putting a roof on a church and have vacation Bible school? Do you think God would want you to be involved in that?" Well, that's a no-brainer, right? Of course God wants you to do that. How are we managing our time? Who are we investing in? And how long will you invest in them? I don't know about you, but sometimes I get real aggravated and want to give up on people that I've invested in for a long time. But how much are they worth to God? How much are they worth to God? And if you've got the time and you've got the talent and you've got the resources and you can make a difference and you can tell them about Jesus one more time, are you making friends so they can be in paradise with you, so they can welcome you into heaven? Maybe they get there before you. You know, I don't know what your situation is. And as we look at this new year that's getting ready to come about in just a day, we got one more day of 2018 and on to 2019. And I'll have to learn how to write 2019 all over again. Thank the Lord for a debit card so I don't have to write checks no more, because it took me like 2 months to make the transition. I'd still write 2018. And I will on the two or three checks I write a month. Linda will probably have to be changing my checks if I write a check to here. But guys, let me tell you something. We have to decide each day to be the manager that we're supposed to be each day, because we're going to have opportunities and time and resources that we have to manage. I asked Harold if we could end with this song tonight, and I think they've got it keyed up. And if you'll all stand, I'm going to pray real quick. But if you need to come and pray, you need to just talk to Jesus about some things in your life, or maybe you're going to pray for a new year, or whatever the case may be. You know, I just encourage you to do that. If the Holy Spirit's speaking to you tonight. The Bible says to know what to do and not to do it is sin. And I truly believe that. And so you don't have to come to the altar to pray, but if He's telling you that this is the time and you should, then don't back up. Okay? Do what He asks you to do. Be obedient to our Lord Jesus Christ, because He was obedient in going to the cross for you.